Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari 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 Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhar Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 11, Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj, Text number 4.
Tas tigmadhairai pradhane shilimu Tastigmadharai pradhane shili mukhair Itastata punya janna upadruta Tam abhyadhavan kupita udhayudha Suparnamanadhapanna ivahaya Tastigmadharai pradhane shili mukhair Itastata punya janna upadruta Tam abhyadhavan kupita udayudha Suparnam unadhapanna ivahaya Taistigmadharai pradhane shri mukhair itastata punya janna upadruta tam abhyadhavan kupita udayudha suparnam anadhapanna ivahyaya
thai by those digmadharai which had a sharp point pradhane on the battlefield shili mukhai arrows ita tata here and there punya jana the yakshas upadruta being greatly agitated tam towards Dhruva Maharaj abhyadhavan rush upita being angry udayudha with upraised weapons suparnam towards Garuda unadhapana with upraised hoods eva like ahaya serpents. Translation. Those sharp arrows dismayed the enemy soldiers who became almost unconscious. But various yakshas on the battlefield, in a rage against Dhruva Maharaj, somehow or other collected their weapons and attacked, just as serpents agitated by Garuda rush towards Garuda with upraised hoods. All the yaksha soldiers prepared to overcome Dhruva Maharaj with their upraised weapons. Although there is no purport given by Srila Prabhupada for this verse, there are a couple of interesting points. The yakshas are described as ahaya, as serpents, as kupita, angry, and as punya jana. Punya means they've done pious activities. Jana means persons. They're very pious persons. They're fortunate persons. So generally we don't think of serpents as being punya. Generally they're a kind of low-class creature who are regarded as having performed sinful activities in their past life to take birth as serpents. So why are these serpents? And in addition to being serpents, they're kupita, they're angry. So someone who's angry is also not considered to be a very fortunate position, because we know that anger leads to the bodily conception of life, falling back down into the material pool. First comes lust, then anger, pride, envy, illusion, madness. So how is it that these angry, serpent-like yakshas are being considered punya jana? How can they be auspicious? How can they be good fortune, recipients of good fortune? Because they are getting the fight with Dhruva Maharaj, who's a pure devotee. And this will be confirmed in the next verse.
Satan prashaktair abhidhavato mrdhe nikritta bahuru shiro dharo dharan ninanna lokam param arka mandalam vrajanti nirbhidyayam urdhvaretasah.
Translation. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the yakshas coming forward, he immediately took his arrows and cut them to pieces, cut the enemies to pieces, separating their arms, legs, heads, and bellies from their bodies. He delivered the yakshas to the planetary system, which is situated above the sun globe and which is attainable only by first-class brahmacharis who have never discharged their semen. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. To be killed by the Lord or by His devotees is auspicious for non-devotees. The Yakshas were killed indiscriminately by Dhruva Maharaj, but they attained the planetary system attainable only for brahmacharis who never discharged their semen. As the impersonalist yanis or the demons killed by the Lord attain Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, persons killed by a devotee of the Lord also attain Satyaloka. To reach the Satyaloka planetary system described here, one has to be elevated above the sun globe. Killing, therefore, is not always bad. If the killing is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee, or in great sacrifices, it is for the benefit of the enemy entity killed in that way. Material so-called non-violence is very insignificant in comparison to killing done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotees. Even when a king or the state government kills a person who is a murderer, that killing is for the benefit of the murderer, for thus he may become cleared of all sinful reactions. An important word in this verse is urdhvaretasa, which means brahmacharis who have never discharged semen. Celibacy is so important that even though one does not undergo any austerities, penances, or ritualistic ceremonies prescribed in the Vedas, if one simply keeps himself a pure brahmachari, not discharging his semen, the result is that after death, he goes to Satyaloka. Generally, sex life is the cause of all miseries in the material world. In the Vedic civilization, sex life is restricted in various ways. Out of the whole population of the social structure, only the grihasthas are allowed restricted sex life. All others refrain from sex. The principle of this age, especially, the people of this age especially, do not know the value of not discharging semen. As such, they are variously entangled with material qualities and suffer an existence of struggle only. The word urdhvaretasaha especially indicates the Mayavadi sannyasis who undergo strict principles of austerity. But in the Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord says that even if one goes up to Brahmaloka, he again comes back. Abhrama bhuvana loka punar avar tinor juna. Therefore, actual mukti or liberation can be attained only by devotional service, because by devotional service one can go above Brahmaloka, or to the spiritual world, wherefrom he never comes back. Mayavadi sannyasis are very proud of becoming liberated, but actual liberation is not possible unless one is in touch with the Supreme Lord in devotional service. It is said, Harim vinana shritim taranti. Without Krishna's mercy, no one can have liberation. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena bhutale Svayam rupa kada mahyam Tadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Sabadhutam Arijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Sadan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate
Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Kapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Rupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Kora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Satan Prashaktair Abhidha Dhavato Murdhe Nikrita Bahuru Shirod Haro Dharan Ninaya Lokam Param Arka Mandalam Vrajanti Nir Bhidya Yam Urdvaretasa. Because of karma, one who kills must be killed. Jiva jivasya jivanam, one living entity is food for another. The devotees are therefore so glorious because even being killed by a devotee elevates you. Kupita or anger generally leads to bewilderment. To grounding us in the bodily platform of life. So the fighting that goes on in this world is not the same as the fighting between the Yakshas and Dhruva Maharaj. It's not the same as the fighting on the Battle of Kurukshetra. Anyone who is killed by the Supreme Lord or by his devotees is elevated instead of degraded. We should understand that we are not the same caliber of devotee as Arjuna or as Dhruva, so we shouldn't think that it's good for me to fight with other people so that I can elevate them. That's our own arrogant hypocrisy. But if the spiritual master is attacking us with sharp words, we should understand that it's to elevate us. Ashochans anvashochans tvam. Pragna varangs chabhashase gatasuns agatasunscha nanushochanti pandita. Krishna attacked Arjuna with sharp words. While speaking learned words, you're mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. the quality of this statement is determined by the purity of the person who says it. If Srila Prabhupada calls me a rascal, I'm elevated. But if I call someone a rascal, I'm a rascal. So what is the value of my words? Palena parichyate. Judge the thing by its result. If the result of my attacking someone is that they become Krishna conscious, and I become Krishna conscious, and everyone is drawn closer to Krishna and closer together in a spirit of cooperative devotional service, then that's a devotee. But if my so-called correction, my so-called attacking, simply leads to conflict and offenses, then I should understand that I'm not qualified to pass judgment. And I'm simply attacking, I'm simply hurting myself. Dhruva Maharaj can fight with yakshas. Arjuna can fight with his family because they are pure devotees and they're authorized . It's their service given to them. We may not be 100% pure, but if we're following the instructions we've been given, then our work is pure. Dhruva was a king. His job is to act as the administrative head. And sometimes that involves battles. Not always, but it may happen. And as a result of his being a devotee, his enemies are elevated. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is trying to convince Arjuna to fight. And he says that this fighting is so exalted that Srila Prabhupada says that material nonviolence, so-called nonviolence, is very insignificant in comparison to it. So it's best to view this fighting in the same way that we view being corrected by the spiritual master. Because everything that a pure devotee does is on the absolute platform. Then we can also be described as punyajana, fortunate persons who receive the mercy of the spiritual master in whatever form that it comes. The yakshas didn't run away. We all want to run. But those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. Those who are on this path don't run, and those who are not on this path, they run. We run from the regulative principles. We run from the association of the devotees. We run from commitment to service. We run from the cultivation of Vaishnava qualities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a method by which we can purify our hearts, but we have to adopt the principles as given to us by our acharyas, by our spiritual master, and as supported in the community of devotees. The beating heart of our devotional service must be the chanting of the holy names. Attentive chanting elevates us beyond this bodily concept of life. People daydream about moving to a mansion with an indoor swimming pool or with so many facilities to enjoy luxurious life. But in the heavenly planets, no one has to grow old. And when someone dies, they simply fade away with no sign of decrepitude. But the chanting of the holy name brings us even beyond that, those heavenly planets, because there the conception is still ultimately to enjoy myself. That focus of working for my own pleasure is the source of misery. Because we're not able to appreciate the infinite ocean of happiness which is present in the holy names of the Lord. If we look forward in the future for happiness, to think that we will be completely happy then, we're missing the nectar of the moment now, which can be found in devotional service to the Lord, which can be found in the association of the devotees, and which is always there in the holy names of the Lord. Because we're not connected to the chanting attentively, therefore we take shelter of sex, we take shelter of sense gratification, and we think that by getting this thing, I'll be happy. But it's setting us up for more and more pain, because we can't get it. And if we get it, we must lose it. And even if we have it, we don't like it. We always want something new. This frustrating condition of life leads many to impersonalist conceptions of Krishna. They negate every form because they've found that every form has led them to some form of frustration. But unfortunately, this negative outlook, if it is applied to Krishna, to Krishna's devotees, then it becomes a stumbling block, a trap, which limits our advancement. It limits our outlook in the sense that it keeps us concerned about our own welfare, our own happiness. Yes, it's a fact that this material world has so many frustrating things going on. But ultimately, we should be willing to be frustrated for Krishna. We should be willing to suffer for Krishna's pleasure. And if we're not willing to suffer, then we're still self-centered. And we may call ourselves spiritually oriented because we found our niche. We found our method to be peaceful all the time. But if we can't step out of our comfort zone, then we miss out on the mercy, the love of God, which animates the spiritual world. These topics are very exalted. I'm not qualified to speak from personal experience, but it's my duty to repeat what I've heard from the acharyas. Actual mukti can only be attained by devotional service. The principle of devotional service is so nice that even in the conditioned state we can practice devotional service. And it brings us peace in the beginning. But in time we have to understand that Krishna will expand our services and he will demand more surrender. And that will become, it will make us want to run. But we have to run toward Krishna. He's the only shelter. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.